just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Wrecked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devy happy hour now. I trust him with everything. Every confidence giving me confidence. Sipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'll make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devy crew.
I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening. This is episode 60 of the Devy Happy Hour. My name is Skip Newton, coming to you from Eagan, Minnesota. Really happy to be here. It is Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. I love Thanksgiving. It's all about the F's in Thanksgiving. It's fun, it's family, it's football, it's food. And this week, it's awesome to have fantasy football podcasting with my boys. They're both here. He's back, he's back, he's back. From Boston, Mass., it's Brian Shakochis, a.k.a. Shaq. How are you doing, man? Good to see you.
It's good. It's good to be back, fellas. It's great to be back with you. I missed you. I love you. And I'm stoked to be back, man. It didn't feel right to not get after it and talk some college ball, so I'm excited to be back with you, and it's going to be a good night.
Absolutely, and of course, we have to go from North Carolina, Matthew Jackson. I call him Obi-Wan. How are you doing, Matt? And I wish people could see you like we can, because that hat is lit, man. You look at that. You are
that's
stylish.
That's one way to describe it.
I'm rocking the flat brim today, fellas. I'm feeling good about myself. I had to bust this out because we haven't had Shaq back in such a long time, man. But Shaq NATO, Shaq Meister is back, man. I couldn't be more excited. I'm stoked for tonight. I mean, this is gonna be a good time.
Just to try to paint a picture for people at home who can't see this. I mean, Matt's got like the flat brimmed hat on. He's wearing it like tilted way up, like some, you know, like I don't know what you'd call it around your way. We call it like a skate rat look around here, right? Like he looks like he's about to go to a skate park. He looks like he's wearing the North Carolina hat circa 2007 or something like that. And I'm just loving it. I'm loving every bit of it. I'm here for it.
I'm getting ready to go out to the skate park and bust an ollie on my sick razor, man.
Yes, and you got like this Dennis the Menace vibe going on with it. I'm in. I'm all in.
The line before we hit record was, "Dude, I want to give you attention for that. Detention for that. I love it."
Yes, yeah, you look like you definitely got a detention when you were wearing that hat at some point in like middle school.
This is the most like I've ever had in that
here.
Look. I've never looked like I've gotten detention a day in my life.
It's a new look for you, man. We're not going to get past this. I was going to say it's awesome to be here. And for those of you who didn't see the tweet, I found out I had COVID at the end of last week. I had a sore throat for about a week and some congestion, but other than that, no other symptoms, so totally fine. And the big mystery around here is, where did I get it from? I work from home all the time. My kids are full-time schooling from home online, so we're pretty much isolated. My wife at work is extra cautious because she's a dentist and she wears more stuff than you can possibly imagine, and no one else has symptoms in the house. And it occurred to me, Matt, you had COVID. We did a podcast together, and you sent me the file to edit. And I'm wondering if that had the virus on there. Is that a thing now? Can we get the virus that way through the computer? I don't know.
I mean, you should have learned by now. I mean, you've been through school. You've gone through the classes. You know not to open any strange programs on your computer. Like I don't that seems like your fault. I'm gonna be frank with you.
It looked a little suspect. I'll be honest, but glad. I feel fortunate that I'm healthy and all's well, and hopefully everyone out there listening is healthy too, and that your family is healthy, because, man, we just need to get through this. Although I do love the optimism, at least coming from the signs of a vaccine, at least sounding like it's soon, and the light.
Praying,
you can actually
that,
see a light at the end of the tunnel. So
praying for that. Little worried about these holidays. I'm hoping people can make good decisions. You know, like a lousy, you know, Thanksgiving 2020 is worth having 20 more plus Thanksgivings after it. You know what I mean? Like, however old, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a lot more than 20 for most of us. So, let's just make sure we all make good decisions.
Yeah,
I don't want to spike things even worse, man.
Exactly. We had family coming in from Texas, and, you know, obviously they decided not to make the trip just to be safe, and, you know, smart decision. But my wife immediately looks at me and she's like, "I have a 23-pound turkey." That's a lot of bird for four people. I mean, my son is 14 and he is doing the teenage 14-year-old, like, he's going into the refrigerator at 10:30 at night looking for a meal to eat because he's hungry because the kid's got a hollow leg. But a 23-pound bird is a lot of bird.
y'all are going to be eating every variation of turkey you can think of for the next, like, 2 weeks.
It's
I don't know, man. Crazy. How far away does Kane live from you?
Yeah, he's
might,
like
he might
three
he might
hours
come
west.
By and do it. Yeah, like, you could give him, like, a couple drive-by plates.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get into the show sheet, the topic for today. We're going to hit on our hits, misses, and then those guys that we're still not sure. Really quick, though, we have another opt-out as Javian Hawkins, the running back from Louisville, has opted out of the rest of the 2020 season. Seems like we have one or two of these every podcast, and none of them are really a surprise, right? I mean, they've got nothing more to play for, you know, if the team's not doing well, or maybe they've got nagging injuries and they know they're going pro, might as well just call it a season. Any thoughts you guys have on Hawkins?
He's a light dude, man. You know, I guess he's not as light as he used to be. He's up around 200 now, so I guess he's not that small anymore. But he was. That was definitely the concern coming into the year. He has some very, very nice games. And I think he's done enough to show that he's got some skills. He doesn't have nearly the receiving profile you'd like to see. You know, I mean, he only had in seven games, he only had 16 receptions. So you'd like to see it. You'd think, I mean, he's got that skill set you think he would have. You'd think he would have more receiving chops than he seems to, but it's not like incompetent by any means either. You know, he's got one game, you know, two games actually with five receptions, so it's not like he's incompetent by any stretch. But he's a very boom or bust for me, and so I'd be interested to see where he goes, man. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes, like, he could go round three. I could definitely see him being in a round four or something like that too. Like, I don't know, we'll see where he goes.
The thing
he's going to run fast. I know that.
So. Right. The thing that scared me the most about him is he just gives me that feel of a scat back. That, I mean, he's your third down, what, round three, round four draft pick that gets used in the committee and is maybe great for a team, but for fantasy football purposes, I would have just liked personally for him to stay in, you know, finish the year off in college, see where we end up at. And
I guess that's my concern for him too, right? Like, I think you're dead right, Matt. Like, he has the feel of a scat back. But you know what he's not? A scat back. He's not a scat back. Like, he's not. Like, he had four receptions all last year. You know what I mean? So he's not. That's not who he is. So I don't know, man. He'll be an interesting guy, because if you can put him in space, he can take it to the house anytime, anywhere. You can put him in space, but then you know, he's got these other games where. I'm trying to think of the game that it was, man. It was a game earlier this year. Was it Pitt? Yeah, it was Pitt, right? He had 13 carries for 78 yards and a touchdown, okay? And his long run was 75 yards.
Oof.
So you do some math right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you can break him out.
It's not good, Bob.
He's taking it to the house. But, like, then he might just have 12 carries for 3 yards. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. He'll be interesting, if nothing else.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, something we've talked about in previous podcasts, just seeing where a lot of these running backs fall in the draft, because after the top two, you know, as Matt and I talked about, the tier one running backs, you know, ETN and Najee Harris, anything can happen at that point. Nobody really knows. I mean, there's guys that we like more than others, but you know, you sometimes a running back falls and you're not expecting, you know, like an Eno Benjamin goes super late in the draft and everybody liked him the year before. So yeah, it'll be fun to see for sure. The NFL draft is always awesome, you know, come April, but where these running backs after those top two or three guys go.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a fall off. And then, like, you know, the funny thing about Hawkins is, like, you can, like, talk about what he didn't do in that game, but then he also had a 75-yard touchdown run. You know what I mean? So, like, you can't take away what he did, but it's just very boom or bust with him as a profile. So, but, yeah, there's definitely, after those top couple running backs, I think it's a big drop-off. I think Chuba Hubbard did not do himself many favors going back this year, as it turns out. So, he'll be another guy. Like, I just really have not enjoyed what I've seen from him this year either.
And when you look at it, like, when you stack up, it's a weak running back class, but after the top two, there's still several running backs that I like ahead of Javian Hawkins anyway. I mean, you've got Javonte Williams.
Definitely.
Who we're going to talk about later. You've got Chuba Hubbard that I still think an NFL team's going to take over Javion Hawkins. You got CJ Verdell. Like, there's a bunch of guys that I like ahead of him. I just don't see any way that he gets above round three draft capital.
I agree. I would be shocked if he goes day two. I just don't see that happening. Yeah. All right, let's get into the hits, misses, and those to be determined. We'll start with the hits. Matt, I'm shocked and surprised beyond belief to see the name that you came up with on a guy that you were high on that is hit. Enlighten the listeners, because they may not have heard you talk about this guy before. Perhaps they're new to the podcast and they don't know who you are.
the only way that we haven't heard me talk about this guy is if you might be new to the podcast. Let's see, Skip. We are approximately 11 minutes and 9 seconds into our podcast, and here is your daily dose of Tank Bigsby running back Auburn talk. We're gonna go ahead and knock this ball out of the water since we talk about him every week. Look, guys, Tank Bigsby is a guy. He's got 92 attempts for 527 yards, 5.7 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns. I mean, he's absolutely exploded onto the scene this year. I said it at the beginning of the season. I didn't like anybody other than Tank Bigsby to take over that backfield. Tank Bigsby was the more talented back on that roster. I said in the offseason, and that's come to fruition so far this season. If it wasn't for an injury last game that he played, his stats would even be higher. He's shown the ability to be a hard-nosed runner. He's tough and physical to bring down. He might be one of the best pure running backs in all of college football right now, and he's shown the ability to be a decent pass catcher too. Look, if he can improve on being a pass catcher, you're looking at a guy that he's already in my top five running backs. You're looking at a guy that could possibly move up to top three if he keeps up the performance he has. I mean, this kid is a stud. I talk about him every single week, and I'm going to continue to talk about him every single week because he is that good.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything you haven't already said. I agree completely. I love him. One of my top two freshman running backs, and he's everything you just said. There's really nothing to not like about Bigsby. Shaq, you know, what are your thoughts on this kid?
Dude's a monster, man. I mean, he's got such a bright future. There was, you know, plenty of uncertainty in that backfield a little bit coming in, and he's taking care of that. There's really no more uncertainty there. He's that guy, and so I think as the alpha, he's got a heck of a future, and he's going to be fun to watch for the next 2 years before he takes off. I mean, you got to figure that's going to happen.
Yep, absolutely. So, Shaq, let's get to your guy. And this is one, man, I remember you talking about this kid a long time ago. And, man, you hit a home run with this one because he looks really good. Who is your biggest hit that you want to talk about today?
Jordan Addison. I felt great about him coming in. I felt like he was going to contribute right away. Wide receiver, Pittsburgh, slot guy, really has a versatile skill set. And I think as he continues to fill out a little bit and thicken out, I mean, he's just coming in as a true freshman, but the kid has been pretty lights out from the moment he stepped on the field. They had just a couple of practices in the spring. He made noise there. He opened eyes there. And he's averaging on the college side of the game through eight games, he's averaging 17.3 fantasy points per game. And on the college side, I mean, the college side of C2C leagues aren't really popping this year because of how crazy things got, but you still can see how they're stacking up points, and he's getting it done, man. I mean, the last three games, he had the clunker was his one clunker game against Notre Dame. Other than that, the games that sandwich it against Miami, he had 147 yards receiving and 127 yards against Florida State last week. So, the kid's going to be legit. I really, really like him. He's only 170 pounds right now. He's like 6 foot 170. As he puts on some weight in these, off-season programs, the kid's going to fill out some, and he's got a very, very bright future. I really like him, man. What do you guys think?
It's unfortunate how under-talked about Jordan Addison is, and I part of that is for the team he plays for. Pittsburgh doesn't get a lot of attention, but this kid isn't on a lot of people's radars, and that's really sad because he's great. I mean, the thing that impresses me the most about him is his yards after the catch ability. I mean, when he catches the ball in open space, he is dangerous in open space, and his yak ability is impressive. I mean, I'm glad that I took your advice and drafted him. We talk about Dwight Peoples' league on this pod a few times, and I was able to grab him in that league, and I'm stoked about that pick. He's somebody that you need to be paying attention to if you haven't started already, because he's only going to get better. He's already a really good prospect, and I mean, you hit the nail on the head in the offseason when you talked about it. There's a lot to like about this kid.
Yeah, he's smooth. He's poised. He's explosive. He's really got a really nicely filled out skill set for a true freshman.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to pick out on, was his ability to get open. He runs a variety of routes. He's got that explosiveness that you like, but it's not just I'm going to run as fast as I can down the field. I mean, he is a very polished wide receiver for a true freshman, and like Matt said, He's hiding at Pittsburgh. People really aren't getting all excited about him. He wasn't one of the top, 10 guys when we talked about incoming freshmen, the top 10. He wasn't one of those guys. But I know you talked about him, off the air. You mentioned him on Twitter as one of your sleepers. You said you loved him in your C2C drafts. And, man, is that looking like a great, great play.
I own him everywhere in C2C, man. it was definitely a hit for me.
And we talked about it too. I mean, he may not be one of those top 10 guys, but what did we cover when we talked about the top 10 freshman classes when we went over to the offseason? Is how often do these top 10 guys actually end up hitting? I mean, it's somebody that isn't in the top 10, and you're seeing that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to get into my guy. And of course, this is probably not a mystery, just like Matt's love for Tank Bigsby, and that's another freshman, Jahmyr Gibbs, Georgia Tech running back. I was big on him when we went through our freshman running back, the incoming class, and he has not disappointed basically from the word go. His stats might not pop as much as people would like, just 369 yards rushing for a 4.4 average. However, you also got to pay attention to the fact that he's got 20 catches already for 255 yards and another three scores, and he can return kicks explosively as well, averaging over 25 yards on eight kick returns. I just really like the film on this kid. I like what he does when he has the ball. I like his vision, his ability to make people miss, his ability to change speed and direction quickly. Those are the traits that I find with Gibbs that I think these are absolutely traits that are gonna be applicable and solid traits at the next level. And I think he's that good. I mean, we're talking about a guy that I think is definitely gonna be in the NFL. And the way he moves is unique. Not all running backs can do that. I mean, there's some things, your guy Bigsby does that not all running backs can do. I mean, the way he almost attacks people, just pushing with a stiff arm or fighting them off. Gibbs, it's just, that explosiveness and the vision. I love this kid a lot, and I'm really glad he's looking as good as he is to start the season. What do you guys think?
For me, the more I watch Jahmyr Gibbs, I love him. I mean, you talked about his electric ability. He's smooth in open space. He has great vision. He's quick. He's one of the best freshman pass catchers, if not the best fresh pass catching running backs that we've seen so far. And, you know, we're going to talk about guys that we missed on, and I'm not hitting on Jahmyr Gibbs, but I blatantly remember being out of the three of us, the one that wasn't so high on Jahmyr Gibbs. So that's the one I'm going to have to take an L on. You know, you watch Jahmyr Gibbs and he's explosive. He's electric. He's a great pass catcher. He has great vision. He's quick. I just personally wish that Georgia Tech would get him involved more in a unique, you know, scheme, different creative stuff around Jahmyr Gibbs, because they need to get this kid touching the ball whenever they can. And his usage is, well, it may not be down, it seemed down, just because they're not scheming him in creative ways, it feels like. So I wish they would do a little more of that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I absolutely love Jahmyr Gibbs. I own him nowhere. I wish I did. Like, I feel like Skip, like, owns him everywhere that I wish I could grab him. I think you own him in two of the leagues both of the leagues we're in together, the CDCs, I think, Skip. But he's an absolute beast, man. I love his game. He is thick. He's well put together, plenty fast, has the well-rounded skill set to be able to catch the football and be a threat out in space, catching the ball. I think he's going to continue to get better. If there is a window to still maybe, because like Skip says, like the stats aren't the sexiest thing in the world. Like, they're not amazing. They don't jump off the page at you. Wow, 369 yards. All right, grab it. If you can grab him now, like, go make an offer now, because I'm telling you, I do 100% believe in this kid. He's going to keep popping, keep getting better. And those numbers that may not look too exciting right now, stick around, because they will.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's get into those misses. Matt, who's your first guy that you definitely missed on?
So for me, we've talked about this guy before. The guy that I've definitely missed on is Iowa State's Brock Purdy. I grabbed him in a few C2C leagues early rounds. I mean, we're talking 2QB, we're talking rounds 2 and 3 getting this guy. And, you know, we saw it last year. He's got this gunslinger mentality, and he showed out last year, and I was super excited for him. I thought he was going to come in and have a great season this year. Yeah, that's not been the case. You know, he's passed for 1,713 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. And out of those 6 interceptions, if you've seen some of his interceptions, they're not his receivers are dropping the ball and the defensive backs are catching it, or the defensive backs are making good reads. I mean, he's throwing some sloppy passes. He's making some bad decisions. There was one I remember, he was taking a sack by like 2 guys, kind of turns and just throws the ball up into the air for an easy pick 6. I mean, his decision-making process this year is not the best by any stretch of the imagination. He's got this gunslinger mentality, but it's almost like he's trying to do too much, and he's just trying to, you know, screw who's covered, you know, forget that I'm throwing the ball into double coverage. I'm going to try and make a play, and that is backfiring completely for him. He's gone from a top 10 quarterback in my mind to, I mean, he's easily in the 20s now for me. I mean, I'm not interested in any of Brock Purdy right now. He's not looked good, and I completely whiffed on this one.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think you hit on the key thing for me, and that's just the bad decision making. And I think the talent's there. I mean, he's got a good live arm, but he doesn't seem to be maturing in making smart decisions with the football. And that's something that I would have expected, you know, midway through his second year, right? I mean, he should be better than that by now. And that concerns me, because I just don't think he's going to be able to impress, you know, NFL teams when they're looking for a quarterback, when they look at that and say, okay, this kid just continues to make bad decisions with the football. And that, yeah, he's definitely down on my list too. I agree with you completely on that.
Yeah, I also agree. I'm just not seeing now what so many people were all about on him, you know, all along. But I guess I was trying to buy into the hype a little bit, reading him over the off season, but I got to say, I think back to, like, I think it was the Oklahoma State game last year, and just a real fizzle out, some of those bad decisions you're talking about, Skip, like just throwing interceptions, like multiple interceptions late in the game. to really take his team's chances away. And you just, it just doesn't, the decision making's not there. And then, you just can't get it done just having a talented arm. It just doesn't pull, it doesn't get it done. So, he's taking a nosedive. There's no doubt.
Yep, absolutely. So let's also get into another miss. Your guy, Shaq, also a quarterback. Who did you miss on that you're looking back at it and being like, man, what was I thinking?
Yeah, what was I thinking? Kyle Trask, quarterback, Florida. Now, I know he's a bit of a polarizing prospect. I know that some people aren't sold on him at all, even still. But look, I mean, the kid has been incredibly productive. I mean, pick a stat. Pick anything, any metric that you want to measure him on, and the kid is killing it this year. He leads the nation in touchdown passes, top 6 pass completion percentage, top 5 passing yards, top 8 in passing yards per attempt. He's top 5 in pass efficiency rate. I mean, the kid is just, he's getting it done. Every which way you can think of, he has been brilliant this season. He's in that mix for the Heisman. There's no doubt about it. And so here's what I look at. I just didn't really feel excited about him. I know some people did in the offseason. Like, I know, like, Ray, you know, talked about him in the offseason. The kid's legit. I just, you know, I hadn't bought in the same, to the same degree. And now I have to eat that, man. Because, you know, I look back at the league that we're all in together, the C2C league we're all in together. That's a 2QB league at both levels, like not only in college but in the NFL also. Not a super flex, a 2QB league. And my pro team is in desperate need of a quarterback. And so what did I do in the first two rounds? I went for the shiny new toys, right? Like, I couldn't leave the shiny objects alone, and I took the two, you know, I took two freshman running backs. And, you know, they haven't popped, but I still got to hope that they're going to do that eventually. But look, dude, I could have had him even with my second round draft pick. I could have had Kyle Trask, and I didn't take him, dude. Are you kidding me? Like, that's a bitter pill for me to swallow, and I got to learn from that. Like, that's what we got to do in this game, is we got to eat our mistakes, own them, and then learn from them. And my lesson that I got to learn, leave the shiny new toys on the shelf sometimes, because you got to go with even if you're not sold on it, you cannot let. It is absolutely inexcusable for me to let a potential first-round NFL draft pick pass me by twice in that draft. And that's what I did. So that's shame on me for that.
Man, I feel that 100%. And to make it even worse, I mean, you passed on him twice. I passed on him 3 times. I went after the shiny new toys. You know, I got two freshman running backs, and while one of them was Tank Bigsby, I was able to get my guy there. I mean, I drafted Demond Demas ahead of him. I drafted DeMarcus Bowman ahead of him, and we haven't seen either one of those guys flash yet. One of them's the coach is just refusing to put on the field, and that's a different topic for a different day. But, I mean, you've got to take advantage of, one, your scoring lineup and your scoring system. And what, I mean, you got to look at that. And when you look at Kyle Trask, I mean, his stats mirror, if not, are a little better than Joe Burrow's prolific season last year. I mean, if you look at it, you know, side by side, they line up really, really similar. And I think, you know, he's a polarizing prospect, and some people love him, some people hate him, but you can't deny what he's done on the football field. And I mean, I'm in that boat with you. I learned my lesson. Sometimes it's best to leave the shiny new toys alone. Get somebody that you know is going to be helpful for your team. And I mean, you're getting them on the NFL side sooner than you're getting these freshman running backs. So it's a tough pill to swallow, man.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Yeah, we all passed on him twice. You know, I'm looking at the same draft myself. I'm like, oh, yep, there's my name taken to freshman running back as well. I love the comp you made, Matt, to Joe Burrow. Now, obviously, he's not going to be just like Joe Burrow, and then he's not going to be the first pick in the NFL draft, but he's having that type of final season in college to where he's completely set himself up to be a first-round draft pick, and that's an amazing, you know, year for him. You know, thinking back to where we were back in July and August and worrying about any games being played at all, I mean, what happens to this kid if they don't play? I mean, talk about a missed opportunity, and the fact that he has capitalized, and he looks so good, and he looks good against everybody. It's not just bad teams. I mean, he's just so
consistently good. It's SEC competition. He's doing this against SEC.
Right. And it's awesome. I mean, yeah, I'd heard his name, you know, coming in as a guy, but it was always in that, you know, some people liked him, some people didn't, you know, you weren't sure. And boy, the people that were high on him going in are, you know, they're definitely doing the victory lap, because he is absolutely mm-hmm. proving them right.
Yeah, well deserved too.
Yeah, so my miss is in the same direction that you went, Shaq, where it's a guy that I wasn't high on at all, and he's having just a phenomenal season, and that's running back Javonte Williams from North Carolina. I mean, this kid, you know, coming into the year, you know, he's splitting time, and you're looking at the stats and sometimes the film, you're like, well, yeah, he looks pretty good, you know, 1,100 yards from scrimmage, he catches a few balls, scores some touchdowns, but when I watch the film, I'm like, he doesn't really pop to me. He's not the guy that I want on that team. You know, when Carter gets his hands on the ball, it just seems more explosive. And that was even at the beginning of the season. But then now, the more you watch him, it's like, holy crap, this kid just continues to break tackles. He continues to get yards after contact. I mean, you know, near the league leaders in all of FBS in those stats. And he's the goal line guy because he's got the right size. I mean, he's definitely got the size to... Yeah, I mean, yeah. First and second down back for sure, and he's catching balls. I mean, he's proving that he can catch passes out of the backfield. He's already topped every statistic from last year. I mean, I did not see that coming at all. And we talked about running backs, and you know, where are these guys going to fall in the draft, and who's going to be that next tier after the top two? And Javonte Williams, he could very easily be. He could end up being the third running back drafted. I mean, some team falls in love with him, and you know, what if a team like Pittsburgh decides to wait, and can you imagine this kid for the Steelers? I mean, he'd fit that team perfectly. And you know, and there's other examples for sure, but yeah, I missed the boat on him, but I'm gonna own that. I'll take the L. I was not as high on him as I should have been, and boy, does he look good.
Let me just adjust this Carolina flat bill hat real quick. Make sure we get that in the frame real quick.
Sexy bill of you got thrown there,
man. I'll own it too. You know, we brought up Javonte Williams and Michael Carter on a few pods ago, and I flat out told you I like Michael Carter better. And the more you watch Javonte Williams, I mean, it is hard not to like this kid. I mean, he leads the FBS in broken tackles and yards after contact. He just, I mean, he breaks tackles. He is definitely a first and second down thumper, but he catches the ball well. I mean, I really think he profiles as a three down back. And he feels like that guy that you're going to be able to get in round two of your rookie drafts that ends up winning you your championships. I mean, that's the feel that he gives off if he goes to the right team to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a prolific year. I mean, you could almost make an argument that he has had the year at running back that Kyle Trask has had at quarterback. You know what I mean? Where, like, he has jumped up so far, so fast. I mean, last year, 13 games, he had 1,109 scrimmage yards. He's already bested that in 8 games this year. You know, I mean, he had 6 touchdowns from scrimmage all last year. He's got 18 touchdowns already this year. I mean, he is just, I mean, rocket ship to his stock profile. So the kid's legit in so many different ways. And it's not only that he's fast, it's not only that he's agile, it's not only that he can catch the ball, but he's also, like you said, he's got the thickness and the stoutness and the BMI to be able to even be a goal line back too. So, I mean, that's sky's the limit for this kid.
And I'm just going to hit on again because we've already hit on Chuba Hubbard in this pod earlier. And I tweeted this out a couple of weeks ago, and since then the stats have changed a little bit. But when you look at Chuba Hubbard's stats, I mean, he's got 625 yards, 5 touchdowns, only a 4.7 yard average. And Javonte Williams, he's looking at over 1,000 all-purpose yards, 18 total touchdowns. And when you look at the average draft position between these two guys before the season started, I mean, wasn't nobody thinking about drafting Javonte Williams ahead of Chuba Hubbard? What I mean, we're sitting here, and that's a little different now.
Yeah, absolutely. And sure, you know, when people, when you're hearing those stats, if you're not looking close enough, he's still splitting time with Carter. I mean, it's right, almost 50-50 on touches. So it's not like he's getting 75% of the workload. I mean, it's awesome. All right, the final category we have are the guys that we still can't decide if we were right or wrong because we haven't seen enough or whatever that reason is, those to be determined. Matt, I'm going to go back to that running back group. Who do you got as your guy that you're still not sure about?
So we crap on this guy every single pod, and I'm gonna throw him a break this time. So my guy that's to be decided is Washington State's running back Max Borgie. When you look at him, the thing that we talked about him, Shaq mentioned it whenever we hit on Washington State in the offseason. He's this prolific pass catching back, but when you look his yards after the catch and what he does in the open field, he doesn't have as big an average, and he doesn't do that many explosive things with the football that you would like to see out of somebody that was going as high as he was in startups and mock drafts. You know, Skip, you said it before, don't hate the player, hate the ADP. And that's what we hated about this guy is his ADP. We didn't see his explosiveness after the catch. We didn't see him being utilized all that much between the tackles and the run game. So the jury was still out on if he could even be a competent running back in the run game. And so far, we haven't got to see that this season. He's been injured all season. He hasn't played a single game yet. And he just recently had to shut down rumors yesterday about him not playing the entire season. He's come out and said that he will play at some point. So hopefully that's more than just a kid wanting to play. We actually get to see a little bit of him this year. But he's a guy that we can't make up our mind yet. You know, I hate his ADP. There's not much that I do like about Max Borgie. But I was ready to see him come into the season and make a statement, have a statement season, and prove me wrong. And I'm a little upset that we haven't got to see that thus far. And I'm hoping that we get to see it sometime soon.
Yeah, I'm in the same place as you. Not high on him. Definitely didn't like his ADP, and I'm still not high on him until, you know, he needs to prove me wrong, and we just haven't had the opportunity yet.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him in the system because it's a big mystery at this point, but I do want to see what he can do when he gets out there. You know, he's got the concerns. We've talked about it. They're well documented all over the place. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what he looks like in this new system. We'll see what happens.
All right. Who do you have, Shaq, as your still to be determined guy that you either liked or didn't like coming in and now you're not sure yet?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm well-documented on Devin Williams, a wide receiver at Oregon, 6'5", 205, former, like, top 40 recruit in the country, coming out, going to USC, and then he transferred pretty quickly and had to sit out last year at Oregon. But by all accounts, in practices throughout the year, was doing well. Mario Cristobal, Joe Moorhead, all spoke highly of him coming into the season. And so I expected really big things, and I made no mistake. I made no bones about that. I was big on Devin Williams coming into the year and was not exactly coming out of the gate super strong in those first two games. Just three catches in those two games for like 40 yards. So that wasn't what I had expected. Now, this past week against UCLA, much more what I had envisioned for Devin Williams. Six catches, 123 yards, and a score. Like, that's what I was hoping for. But I got to say, that's still TBD at this point. Like, is it going to be like week three, or is it going to be like the first 2 weeks? I mean, they got a lot of receivers. I know they're rotating a lot of guys in, but he feels like a pretty classic X for me out there, and if a breakout game like the UCLA game can get him a little bit more consistently on the field at that X spot, I really like what his ceiling can be moving ahead. So to be determined, but I did finally get a little more excited seeing him because he looked good in that UCLA game.
Yeah, I've liked how they've got him more involved. I think that team is still trying to figure out their passing game identity. They've got a new quarterback this season in Tyler Shough. They're trying to, I felt like they were trying to kind of ease him in at the start of the season. They were running C.J. Verdell a whole lot, and that kind of that ended up showcasing. He put together two great starts. You know, we talked about his consistency issues. He's another one that is to be decided in my eyes, but we talked about his consistency issues. He put on two great showings. They started passing the ball more last game, and we got to see more of Devin Williams. So that was good. Hopefully, as this team figures out their passing identity, Devin Williams takes off with it, because I like what this kid could do.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you guys. I want to see more consistency. Like, can this be the start of a series of games where he can get you, you know, 4, 5, 6 catches? You know, it doesn't need to explode for over 100 yards and a score every time, but you know, where his bad game is, okay, yeah, he only got 5 catches for 60, 70 yards, but he's still getting the targets, he's still making plays. That's what I'm looking for from, you know, those top wide receivers. And then, of course, throw in the big game like that where you go for over 120 in a touchdown. That's what I like to see, you know, because, yeah, the physicality and the athleticism is there. It's just a matter of, you know, can he put it together? Because I was jumping all over that bandwagon in the off season, you know, thinking, okay, this is a kid I want to get, you know, get some shares of.
Well, my guy, I think if you just tuned into that UCLA game this past weekend, there's no way on earth you don't look at you walk away and you're like, oh man, that kid's a stud. You know, I mean, he looked like a stud. He looked fantastic. And so you would be shocked if you went and looked and saw that he didn't really get a whole lot done in the previous two games. So you got to hope it's a sign of things to come. I hope it is. I would also say that Kevin Austin is sort of like my other to-be-determined guy. I've definitely made plenty of noise about Kevin Austin at Notre Dame. He finally came back from injury. I can't say that whether he was ever really all the way back and right yet or not. Everyone at Notre Dame talked big things about him as well. So I really am hoping that the kid can finally get on the field next year and do well, but he's out for the year again with an injury. So he's still probably to be determined, but you probably start skewing him over to the miss column until he can get out there.
Yep, yeah, for sure. So my guy is another wide receiver, Donovan Green from Wake Forest. I was really high on this kid, kind of as a sleeper coming into the season. I liked the film that I saw from his freshman season. He's a redshirt freshman now, so he actually played 4 games last year and still got the redshirt. And it's still to be determined on this kid, because he'll show you signs of big play ability. He'll show you that explosiveness that I saw in the 1 game last year, and then he kind of disappears, you know, in a couple of games for sure. So it's still kind of up and down. I think I'd feel better about him as a hit if he were the number one guy on Wake Forest. I mean, I understand that, you know, Wake Forest doesn't have this great passing attack. It's not like he's got Kyle Trask throwing him the ball, but he's still the kind of the second, you know, in that second level of options, and I'd like to see him get up to a higher level of targets. You know, he did bust out, you know, on the 14th against North Carolina, you know, 8 catches, 170 yards, and a couple scores. So that's the kind of explosiveness he has. And he's had a couple other games where he's had, you know, 3, 4 catches and top 70 yards a couple times. So the ability is there. I just want to see more consistency from him. I should mention too, he's got a kick return touchdown. So again, he's fast and I like him a lot. I just want to see more before I'm ready to make a determination one way or the other. What do you guys think?
Yeah, man, I like him. And he's fast. He's physical. He runs good routes. But the thing that I like the most about him is his big play potential and his go up and get the ball alpha mentality as a wide receiver. I mean, there were several plays while I was watching. I've been against his big blow up game against my boys in blue. You know, that 170 catch game where, I mean, there was a few plays where he just went up and absolutely, I mean, he caught the ball at his highest point over a guy. I mean, he's got that go up and get it physicality. He's a big play machine. You kind of wish that, like you said, they would get him more involved in the offense, but he's somebody that you can get excited about because when he's on, he's on. And that's something that you got to like about him. I mean, when he's having himself a day, I mean, there's not many receivers in college football that do it better than him. I mean, he's a great receiver. I think that you're going to end up being right about this. Time's going to have to tell. He's going to have to string together, you know, like we've said, the consistency with C.J. Verdell. He's going to have to string together these consistent games. But I think he can do it. I mean, he's got all the tools in the bag that he needs to be able to do this.
Yeah, the thing I need to remember, too, is he's still a redshirt freshman. So it's not like, you know, he's a redshirt junior, and it's kind of like, okay, dude, when's this going to happen? I mean, he's still young. So patience is a virtue in fantasy football, and I need to remember that, especially when you're talking Devy and C2C leagues.
Yeah, I find it a little bit, I don't know if antiquated is the right word, but, you know, the thing with Wake Forest, they're one of those schools where they're pretty much going to redshirt every single student, you know what I mean, every single player. And so they played him four games last year at the end of the year, and he did some nice things, man. He flashed at the end of the year. Like, he had the one game where he was an absolute monster. So, you know, I would have liked to see him, you know, get out there and have some more time on the field. Like, not worry about automatically redshirting a kid that is not, you don't need to redshirt. If you can get him out there and develop him sooner, like, what did you get out of redshirting Sage Surratt? Because he ends up, you know what I mean? Like, he ends up opting out. You know what I mean? So, like, what did you get out of sitting him for a year? So, I don't know, man. I would have liked to see this kid come along, because he flashed last year, and I felt like he could come along a little bit quicker than he has. But, you know, if his you know, curve is going to be a little bit slower than we hoped, you would have liked to see that time on the field and get some of those reps last year. But I have hope for him. I still have hope for him. I think you guys are both spot on in what you're saying. I definitely have not given up on Donovan Green. I think he's still got a chance to be a very good player.
All right. Well, that is it for the show sheet for today. The next time we do a podcast, I'm thinking about throwing something out there, like maybe looking at that 2022 draft class, see how that's looking. I know we've heard some people say it might be another one of those down years before it spikes back up in 2023. Of course, this year the running back and wide receiver class was fantastic, and quarterbacks were good at the top, and it looks like we're going to have another phenomenal wide receiver class in 2021, and the quarterbacks are looking good too. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what we think, kind of get ahead of the game and talk 2022. But before we completely sign off, Matt, what are your final thoughts, and where can people find you and your work, and perhaps a surprise picture of you in that awesome hat?
So there's one thing that I kind of want to say, just for the feel of fantasy football Twitter as a whole. You know, I think it's important to, yes, own your hits and celebrate your hits, but we need to, as a fantasy football community, own our mistakes too as well. We're not all going to be right 100% of the time, and more often than not, we're probably going to be wrong on a few guys. So own your mistakes. Let's learn from it. You know, this is all a community. We're growing together. We're learning together, and this is all just a hobby for us. So let's do it. Let's have fun. You guys can find me on Twitter at @DHH_Matt. I do my rankings at Dynasty Nerds. I'm trying to work on a Javonte Williams article when time allows, and I just recently did a podcast with the Devy Owner's Manual. We did a three-round rookie draft for this upcoming rookie draft season. So it's the deepest rookie draft you'll find available right now. Go out, check it out. This class is super deep, guys. I mean, there are still guys going into round four that probably should be round two or three guys. I mean, this class is stupid deep. Check it out. Load up with some draft picks, because it's going to be a fun draft this year.
That was an awesome podcast. So I listen to the Devy Owner's Manual, you know, every time it comes out. Love it. Love the podcast. And I had no idea you were on there. So I hit play, and all of a sudden I hear your voice. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. That's my Matt. Awesome. I mean, great job. Awesome podcast. I loved it. Shaq, how about you? I know you're crazy busy, but where can people find you and all the stuff you do?
I'm at Dynasty Tools on Twitter. I mean, the Devy ranks at Dynasty Nerds, and try to contribute over there. You know, I haven't been able to get as much film room editing in this year. I haven't been able to get a lot in this year. So, you know, even the Dynasty Tools podcast has been hard. So it's been a rough go, man. I mean, you know, me taking a little bit of a leave of absence is not it's not a small thing. I love this stuff. I love being with you guys and working with you guys. But yeah, it has been a crazy year. Everyone, I promise you, as much as your kids may be struggling with some of the online hybrid school and all that, like, it's kicking my ass, it's kicking everyone's ass. Like, all the teachers out there, man, we're struggling like crazy. Like, we're all like first year teachers again, you know. So we're trying and we're struggling just like your kids are. We're all trying to fight through this, and let's just pray for a brighter day coming down the pike here. Let's pray for that vaccine, and hopefully we're back to normal life again by this time next year.
Yeah, that would be absolutely awesome. Of course, we are part of the Dynasty Happy Hour team of podcasts featuring the Dynasty Happy Hour with Tim Keller, Doug Eddy, and Tyler Gunthener. They record every other Sunday night. And then in the off weeks, it's Chasing the Points, another good one to give you kind of that Sunday review. Also have the DHH Contractor with Randy, a.k.a. Memphis, where he'll go over your Dynasty roster, give you a roadmap for success. So reach out to him. He's on Twitter, which is on the internet, at DFF Memphis. And then the IDP Power Hour, I don't know if they're still looking for guys or if they've decided not to do that one, but haven't heard it for a while, but would love to get some IDP knowledge for those of you that play. It's a fun way to play if you have the time. It's also kind of scary because it's a whole nother part of fantasy football that if you haven't played it yet, it's like, wow, this is a lot of unknown. But I do like a couple of leagues that I'm in. Of course, I'm at SkipNewton31. I cover the ACC for the Dynasty Draft Room. If you have not checked out the DynastyDraftRoom.com, they really are the best site for all your NFL draft needs. I mean, the videos, rankings, profiles, we've got it all. I'm super excited to be a part of that team. And I've got an article I'm working on, which is actually going to be on Donovan Green, the guy I talked about earlier. So I'm going to get that dropping this week. And then, as always, I'm just going to end this. Oh, what you got over there?
Yeah, I got a question, Skip.
Yeah.
I'm going to raise my hand like I'm the student in the classroom, okay?
I like that.
So, at Skip Newton 31, man, what's the 31 for?
So, I don't know how I picked 31 way back when I was, you know, registering for like a Hotmail email account.
Yeah.
You know, I got the whole, you can't do SW Newton. So,
mm-hmm.
I said, oh, okay, I'll just, and I ended up with 31, and so 31 is just stuck.
Like, are there 31 other Skip Newtons out there?
Well, there can't be. I just went far enough ahead and decided with 31.
Oh, okay. you just jumped ahead.
There's no significance to 31 other than that's what I picked. And
the 31's is vertical.
All right.
It's his vertical check.
I dig it, man.
Sure. Are we measuring in, you know, millimeters? I don't know. What are we doing there? So, speaking of the Dynasty Draft Room and then my weekly now thank you and appreciation, just want to give a huge shout out to Zach Patra, the owner of the Dynasty Draft Room. Just a fantastic guy, and it's really more than him giving me a chance to join his team and cover the ACC from a Debbie perspective. It's really just him as a boss, right? A leader. He's so supportive and he's encouraging and he's positive and he's excited about what everyone's doing there. And he makes you want to be a part of that team and you feel appreciated for what you're doing. And that's a big deal. I mean, I'm 45. I've worked in corporate America since, you know, 1998 when I got my first job. And I can tell you, who you work for as far as the person you report to is arguably the most important thing about your job you get from a lot of people. I mean, obviously your salary matters, your benefits matters, your location and how far you have to drive if you're not working remote. But if you've got a great boss, that's going to make a lot of that other stuff not as significant. And while, of course, I'm just, you know, writing for him part-time, he's a great guy to work for, and the team is awesome to be a part of. So I just want to say huge appreciation for that. And on that note, I also want to say thank you to our listeners. I hope you all have a safe and wonderful Thanksgiving. And if you're able to do it with family, I hope you have an awesome time. I hope you enjoy some football. And if you can't do it with family, I hope you still find a way to enjoy it. And remember that the future is going to be brighter. We know it. It's coming. It's just a matter of time, and we'll get there, and we'll get there together. So have a safe, happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and be a good human.